The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's enemies will be those of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their towns. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back, everybody. What I thought I'd do today is tell you a little bit about our first reading, okay, from the book of Exodus. Because for the next 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, our first reading's going to be taken entirely from the book of Exodus. And y'all remember the story of the book of Exodus, yes? Yes. Exodus is the story of how the Israelite people went from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land by passing through the desert under the great persevering leadership of Moses. Okay, the value of the book of Exodus is that it is a metaphor for our lives. This is the value of it. It's why we retell it again and again and again, because we are, all of us, on our way to a land of promise. This earth is not our home. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we're trying to get home. And it's not easy, is it? We are passing, as if metaphorically speaking, through a desert. That's why Exodus is so filled with helpful spiritual insights. And, you know, this morning I'd like to give you just one. But first, let's situate ourselves and remember what brought us to this point. Okay? So up until now, we've been hearing the story of the book of Genesis. We heard the story of Abraham, our father in faith, who God called to travel away from his homeland to a brand new land at the age of 75. Abraham believed, and God made a covenant with him and led him to the land of Canaan. We've heard the story of Isaac, Abraham's miraculous, impossible son, who he almost sacrificed on Mount Moriah out of what he believed to be obedience to the command of God until an angel stayed his hand, saved the life of the child. We've heard the story of Jacob and his 12 sons, and the story of Joseph, who, acting in a Christ-like manner, reunited all the children of Israel by his mercy and by his forgiveness, and that's how the Israelite people got to Egypt. Now, that's where the first reading begins. And after so much providence and so much care, things have turned very, very badly for the children of Israel. As the first reading says, a new king came to power who knew nothing of Joseph. And he said, "Look how numerous and powerful the children of Israel are growing." And he treated them extraordinarily badly, as you heard, even to the point of slavery, even to the point of throwing each male child into the river to die, as they worked, as they labored in the land of Egypt. Now, I'll tell you something interesting about the about the ancient land of Egypt. It was filled with foreign laborers. You know, people think that the pyramids were built by slaves. There weren't enough slaves in all of Egypt to put up the pyramids. The pyramids were built by foreign laborers who flocked to Egypt because that's where the jobs were. The pyramids were the world's biggest government construction project, and cities of foreign workers set up in Egypt to build all of Pharaoh's projects. There's nothing unusual at all about foreign workers laboring in the land of Egypt. What was unusual is about how badly the Israelite people were treated, how they were singled out for such cruel behavior as the book of Exodus tells us, the cruel fate of slaves. Now, if you're an Israelite living in Egypt at this time, you have thought that God is dead. You thought that God had abandoned you and had all the promises of old have been left to be ignored and none of them would come true. This is what you would have thought. But you would have thought very, very wrongly, because you know what happens next. You know what happens next. God delivered his people from slavery in most dramatic fashion, in a way that the whole nation would be able to see. What, with the 10 plagues of Egypt for the whole of Egypt to marvel at, with the Israelite people leaving slavery only to be pursued by Pharaoh right up to the edge of the Red Sea, and they thought all was lost. When God suddenly opened the Red Sea at the command of Pharaoh like a wall to their right and to their left, and they passed through the river, through the land dry shod, and all of Pharaoh's chariots and charioteers were washed away in the sea. You see, the lesson that we learn from the book of Exodus is that just when you think that God is dead, he's actually preparing you to receive a tremendous blessing. Notice how in the first reading, how badly the Israelite people were treated, but no matter how badly they treated, they kept getting stronger. They kept getting stronger because God himself was making them stronger. Just when you think God had abandoned you, just when you think all is lost, take faith from the book of Exodus. It shows us that God is very much alive and very much at work, using every last detail of your present hardship like a gift to prepare you to receive a blessing that you will need, a blessing yet to come. You know, the word grace comes from the Latin word gratia, and it means free. But it also means gift. And for one who has faith in God, absolutely every detail of life is a great big gift. Either it's a present gift or it is a preparation for a gift that God has yet to give you, a gift that you are not yet ready to receive. See, one of the many great lessons from the book of Exodus, and our job in all of this, to persevere, to keep faith, and as the gospel tells us, to put Jesus Christ above all else. Amen.